Lip-smacking good.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Lip-smacking Good, where the motto of the show is, if your lips ain't smacking, it ain't good. I have today Candace. I met her through Dexter at Shattered All Productions. She is a very cool and interesting lady who has tons of stories to share. And she is known as Mom Most Traveled, and that is her Twitter handle. And you can find her on the internet at mommosttraveled.com. And she also has a new site called bravenewcancan.com. Introduce yourself to everybody, Candace.
Hi, it's me, Candace. My nickname is Can Can, but whichever makes you feel, you know, most comfortable, call me Candace or Can Can if you're cool. And I live in Brooklyn, and is this my second time podcasting with you?
I think so, yes. The first time was we was in Greensboro. No, it might be the third time. Because I think we might have done with you once. Oh, no, this is twice. About like, I think we might have done with you once or twice in Greensboro.
The first time was really a lot of hours, so there was that.
Yeah, because you guys will, it's funny though, because you guys like work all day, and me and Roger come in and go, hey, how you doing? You want to do a podcast? And everybody's like, yeah, we've been here all day. Dexter's working us through the bones, and you want to do a podcast? Get out of here.
That's how it is in the business.
Yes, we come in with all this energy levels and things like that, and working with you guys has been fun. It has encouraged me to be more bold with my voice acting. And for those of you out there who know, me and Roger has done voiceover acting for Dexter. And we did one called Drive Through, where me and Roger was like husband and wife. And I was pregnant, and he wanted to get something to eat. And shenanigans pursued from there. And when I talked to Dexter, and you come to find out, this is part of your a real life story that happened to you, ma'am. Would you like to share with us?
I was the inspiration. I don't know if you listened to it. If you haven't, you should. The only part that was embellished was the coupon. But the rest of it was real. When I had my first child, you know, if you've never had a baby, when you get ready to have a baby, you don't know what you're doing. So I went to some kind of class and, you know, with advice on how to have this baby, how to do the labor and everything. And the nurse said, you know, that you can't have food in the hospital, but to keep your strength up, you might want to get like a milkshake to keep your strength up and sip on that while you're in labor. Okay, this is what she said. So this is like fast forward about, whatever, 6 months to where I'm actually in labor. And I remember in that moment, my husband at the time, he's now my ex-husband, when the lady said milkshake, he just got this kind of look in his eye, and he was like, milkshake. Okay, so fast forward to when I'm actually in labor. It's about 4 in the morning, and so I waited a really long time because they scare you. They say, you know, better be in labor. They're going to send you back home from the hospital. So I waited so long, my water broke at home.
Wow.
And so I woke up, my ex-husband, and I was like, hey, time to go. And I was pretty in a lot of discomfort by this point. So we get in the car, go into the hospital. He's like, hey, do you want a milkshake? And I was like, you know, I was trying to be conscious of the fact that I was in pain and not, like, be rude to him in my response just because of the pain, because that wasn't his fault, you know. So I'm like, I want some curry. And he's like, I want a milkshake. And so we went ahead and went through the drive-thru with me in labor because he wanted a, it was McDonald's. I don't know if you can get any endorsement from that. But, so he could get
some
milk.
He was loving McDonald's.
I didn't have a big appetite at that moment, you know. My mind was elsewhere, even though normally I do love to eat, but that was the one exception.
Oh, no wonder why he's your ex. Oh.
Yeah, we aren't married anymore, so it's just a little funny story.
Well, I'm glad that I could play the role, and I hope that the anger that I had was valid to the anger and the rage that you had. I've never had any children, but I could only imagine, and I would like to thank my husband for playing your ex-husband, and I hope he played that role very well.
Well, you know, I mean, even if you haven't ever had a baby, you can just imagine you need any kind of emergency medical attention, and your partner gets the munchies. You know what I'm saying? Just put your head, that's where your head is right there.
Wow. And you have traveled a lot of different places. Where is the most unique place you've ever traveled?
Oh, I don't know. You know, I spent a long time. I actually lived in Asia for 10 years.
Wow.
Before I came, before I lived in New York. So, I don't know, man. Probably a place where I was probably uncomfortable, if you want to go there. There's this place in Bali, Indonesia, which is a beautiful, beautiful island. There's this place called the Sacred Monkey Forest.
Oh, and
it is this really old, like hundreds of year old grove of nutmeg trees. And I guess the legend or whatever is that it used to be an old temple, or maybe it was an old temple, ancient temple. And so there's all these wild monkeys living there, but since they're on a temple, they kind of get like sacred status, so nobody's bothering them. So they're just there, and I don't know if, okay, so when I was like a teenager, I thought monkeys were like cute and everything, but after I lived in Asia, I am for real afraid of monkeys, because they're so strong, and you don't know what they're going to do.
No.
One of them ran up my back and grabbed my sunglasses off my face and then like ran up a tree.
Oh.
And they had like these kind of local helpers there, and they have one of the traditional, it's men wearing the traditional Balinese skirt, and they have these long like walking sticks. Well, they're not actually for walking, they're like monkey scaring sticks. So the guy in the skirt ran off with his stick in the air after the monkey, and I didn't watch what happened, but he did come back with my sunglasses, so maybe I don't want to know.
I don't think you won't know. Is it true, like, the closest I've ever been to a monkey is in a zoo. Is it true that they fling their own poop?
Probably. I mean, nobody's telling a monkey what to do, I'll put it that way.
True, because from the stories I can tell, they look like they're very strong. They can swing and have the strength of several men. So
yeah.
I completely understand that. Wow. And
when this is a completely different experience, but I was a teacher in Laos, which is next to Thailand. And one day I had a teacher work day, so one of my friends and her kids took my younger son to the zoo in Laos, and he was 3. And he had something in his hand, like a cucumber or something, and the monkey grabbed him through the cage and drug him by his hair and his arm, and he had to get rabies shots. I know. If you can imagine being at work and someone saying, so, my friend's name was Deacon, she called me on the phone, and she's like, so, Deacon got attacked by a monkey. Do you want us to come pick you up at work, or do you want to just meet us at the clinic?
Wow. That's a phone call.
I know. And I had to be like, oh, blah, 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 blah. Like, my brain didn't have a response. It took me a minute there. So, sorry to get on the monkey tangents. We could talk about something less smacking.
Oh, no. Like I said, I really do love and enjoy your stories. What is the, because since you've been around the world, what is the most, I guess, the nastiest thing you ever eaten before?
Well, I guess probably the, well, so I was a vegetarian for a long time, and that got me out of eating a bunch of really gross stuff. Like, one time I was in a village in Belize, a Mayan Indian reservation, I guess you would call it, and they were all real excited this one night because they were able to catch a capybara, which is the largest rodent in the world.
Oh.
And then they burned all the fur off. It just looks like a really huge shaved guinea pig. That's like what the head looks like. Like those kind of teeth. Just like real, real big. And yeah, I can't think of an animal to compare it to. Maybe like a medium-sized pig, you know? And so then they were excited, man. So they cooked that up and served it over rice. And at the time, I just ate the rice and kind of snuck the rodent over to one of my friends. But I still kind of got kind of crazy thinking about the rat juice that was on my rice, you know?
Oh. When you visited like these different places, what customs or things like that they've eaten that you found to be delicious? That you like, I will not find this anywhere else but here.
I kind of got into so in Thailand and Laos and also Cambodia. There was this trend, like, it used to be really normal to eat insects. And, but then, you know, people our age, like, it wasn't that cool anymore. But now the trend is, like, coming back. It's kind of like how my dad grew up in the countryside, and he likes to eat pickled pig's feet. But, like, I wouldn't do that. But they're probably coming back again now with the hipsters, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, and they'll charge you $50 a plate when you get a whole,
exactly.
Get as many as you want.
So these insects, especially in Thailand, are, like, some of them are really expensive because you have to go find them wherever they are in their special habitat and then cook them up. So I ate deep fried crickets and stuff like that. I think it's pretty good, like a beer snack that's salted. I did eat some, I think they were silkworms. I didn't like that. I don't like the worm family. I need a crunchy texture, you know.
Wow. So silkworms don't taste like silk?
No, and you know what? There's this one that... So imagine, like, a worm the size of your thumb, like, kind of writhing around. Whoa. That's something that they eat. It's like baby bees. It's bee larvae. And it made me really gross out to see it because they're all stuck, like, halfway hanging out of a honeycomb and, like, wiggling around. But they say when you bite it, it just tastes like honey. But I could not put that in my mouth. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for your culture.
Wow. What?
Just the movement got to me.
Wow. What, have you ever been somewhere and you look like some of the foods you eat, you go, well, the only reason why these people are eating this is because of poverty?
I think it probably does start out like that, but it's the same way, you know, like, it's the same for, like, you know, I'm from the South, and soul food wasn't invented by rich people, you know, but we still love it. So I think you grow to love, like, whatever you are used to, but I think, yeah, like, one thing that, is eaten a lot in Asia is congealed blood, like, cut into cubes. And it just looks like almost like chocolate pudding in cubes, but I think, you know, it's really nutritious, but, you know, there's probably a time when they had to use every part of the animal because they were so poor in a developing country. But
who's
now they probably like it, you know. I would guess a pig. They eat a lot of pork. They don't have a lot of grass to raise
like beef.
Yeah, so... Usually like a goat or a pig, probably.
Wow.
I don't know. You know, they have a lot of beliefs about different, like, medicinal properties of foods, like, especially okay. Things like parts of snakes or there's all kinds of things that are supposed to make you more fertile. You know what I'm talking about, for the men out there. But
make you a little stronger, guys.
Yeah, well, a little more go the distance, if you will. And those are all very popular and very expensive, and it's usually something like a scorpion and a snake tied to a stick stuck in a bottle of alcohol or something, and then you take, like, shots of that. Yeah. So.
You need rabies shots from that.
I mean, I've never been a man, but it's my impression that they'll try just about whatever it takes, so.
That's true. Out of all the places that you traveled, where is the best wine you've ever tasted?
Best wine? Well, definitely not in Vietnam. That was some of the most disgusting thing I'd ever tasted.
What was it?
I happened to be in Vietnam on Christmas one year, and on Christmas Eve, the hotel owner made like a little party, and then, you know, it was very nice of him to do that, but the wine, oh my God, it was like, I can't even describe it. Like vinegar mixed with mouthwash, but it was colored purple.
Oh my, purple?
Just really burnt.
Wow.
I don't know, I guess the best wine was probably in San Mateo County in California. Sorry if that's a downer.
Oh, no. That's no problem, because isn't that where, like, wine country is, like, in the United States?
Yeah, I did. I haven't actually been on those, like, I don't know. I kind of associate those wine tours with, like, old people.
Me too. And I'm getting old, and one day I say I'm going to make that trip.
He's like, it's almost time.
Yes, it's
almost right.
Yes, I don't have any gray hairs yet, but the first time I see a gray hair, I'm booking a trip.
I mean, the only people, you know, I grew up in the South, and my parents don't drink, actually. Well, my dad doesn't drink publicly. My mom doesn't drink at all. And so that wasn't a part of our upbringing. So I guess I associate wine country stuff with, like, people, medium-rich people's weddings. I don't know. I've never been there, so.
Ah, okay. We have a stereotype on our show that me and Roger made it up about that white people love cheese. Do you love cheese?
Okay, let me say this. So I had a very terrible thing happen to me after my second baby. I became allergic to dairy for about 4 years.
Wow.
And I know, but at that time, I was eating a lot of cheese. Oh, let me tell you this. So I told you I lived in Asia for 10 years, and I took some language classes to learn how to speak Lao.
Okay.
And so your stereotype reminds me of this. So there's these, like, fill-in-the-blank sentences, and, like, I didn't know the answer. Like, they were like, Lao people like... it's something like, Lao people like this, like, Lao food, whatever it was. And they were like, Americans like, and that's just like fill in the blank. And I was like, oh, like, Americans like a lot of things. I don't know. We like, you know, quiche. I don't know. And they were like, no, cheese. The answer is cheese. And I was like, what about? And they're like, no, cheese.
And we did it as a joke. We didn't realize that it was like an official stereotype. It was like, y'all like cheese.
Well, they, like, one of their ingredients to a lot of their dishes is a fermented fish paste called, and they love it, and I think it's an acquired taste, kind of like, if you didn't grow up eating cheese, it just tastes like something rotten to you.
Ooh, say the name of that fish paste again.
Padek.
Padek. Wow. What? That's a vocabulary word. Wow.
Yeah. So I would usually ask to leave it out because you can get like a liver, what's called a liver fluke, like a liver parasite from it if it's not, I don't know what the word is for pasteurizing fish stuff, but that process to make it like shelf stable.
Wow.
It was a word I had to learn. But yes, now I do love cheese. And in January I went to France. I went to Paris. And you would not believe the cheese that they have there. I went to the grocery store, and you know how, like, we have, like, one refrigerator aisle in the grocery store of cheese, right?
Yes.
There goes all three sides of the store. It's all cheese and, like, yogurt and mousse, shortbread mousse, every, like, dairy product. There's so many different kinds of yogurt you don't even know. French people got it.
Wow, I think here the biggest thing that I've had is Harris Teeter. Like, you go into the Harris Teeter, and it's like they literally sell cheese by the circle or the roll, and it's like big and round. And
for
it's like
hats.
Yeah, you ought to make hats. When you know, I think, and when I went, I think I was looking for some type of a Spanish cheese, and I asked the lady in the cheese lady in the cheese section of the store, and she was like, yeah, people have been asking about that cheese, but they won't get it, but I have something close to it. So I was like, that's when you know your cheese game is serious.
That's kind of out of my comfort zone. Did you say the cheese game is serious?
Because
that's what hurt, and I like that. But, I love food. I'm not a food snob, so I get a little uncomfortable, like, if you want to try something new and you can tell somebody, like, you can probably tell from the way she talked that if you had asked for a different kind of cheese, maybe a little low-class version, like, she would have judged you.
You know what? She probably would have judged me, but I can say that my cheese vocabulary has grown a lot. Half the cheeses I don't know how to pronounce and I can't spell. I'm not even gonna lie. All I know is that certain cheeses on certain crackers and certain spreads are delicious.
That's from extensive research.
Yeah, that's they be like, try this. Oh, it's good. That's all I know. I might could tell you the maker. but I really like the different types of cheeses, and I'm really starting to branch out, like getting into the brie.
You know what is fun is to put that in the oven in your iron skillet for a little bit and make it nice and
Ooh. That sounds scrumptious. Isn't it one of those things where I'm starting to branch out, what is this, Gorgonzola? Lord knows I tear that one up.
That's the one that one smells, right?
I think it does. All I know is Gorgonzola is about as close as I'm going to get to it, and it's probably mispronouncing it.
It sounds like you're speaking a different language, so that's fancy. It has to be fancy.
I'm assuming it is fancy, too, because from my understanding, from what I've heard, that the more fancy your name, the more it calls for my vocabulary. And a lot of French cheeses are very expensive here.
Yes. Yeah, that's why you should just go to Paris. And you know what? I, pictured myself eating in, these French cafes and stuff, but really, you know what I did? I kept going to the grocery store and taking a bunch of stuff home and eating it on my hotel room bed because who cares? It was that delicious. I don't need to go to a cafe.
Yeah, if I go there, I want to do the cheese, and I want to do the pastries. How about the pastries there? Like the croissants. I just like to pronounce it like that.
I did have a croissant, but do you know what happened? So there's this chain here called, what is it? La Pain Cordine or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have that in North Carolina?
Nope. At least not to the best of my knowledge.
So we have them in New York. And I also have this other thing in New York called Pret-a-Manger. It's like a French deli, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Paris, and they have them there also. So it's like the same, basically a deli, a little step higher than Subway, Eat Fresh. The same thing that's in my neighborhood I found in Paris. And then, so this one day, I was like, oh, it's my last morning. I really want to get a croissant before I leave so I can experienced it. Oh my gosh, look at this cute cafe. I went in, sat down, and when they handed me the menu, it said Pain-Cordine on the top. So the same chain that I have in New York. So I was like, what the? I got tricked. What is this cool, unique restaurant? And you go in and it's a McDonald's once they hand you the menu. And you're like, ah, shoot.
You tricked me.
What'd I do?
Yes, it's like, I didn't come here to eat what I could have ate at home.
Exactly.
Wow. What is the most, let me see. I'm trying to think. I know what I want to ask you. What is the favorite thing to eat that you didn't make?
That I can make?
That you can't make. You know, like your favorite thing. You go, I like this, but I cannot duplicate this.
Okay. Well, I have never successfully made chocolate mousse because it involves doing some stuff with raw eggs and stuff that I can't. Like, when I make it, it's like chocolate jello, and that ain't right. And one of the coolest things I ever had, and I have no idea how it's made, was a bacon jam. I've never made jam or jelly.
Bacon jam?
It was freaking amazing.
Did it taste like bacon?
It had bacon in it, plus it was sweet, so it's like the best of all the worlds.
Oh, sweet and savory.
Yeah, bacon and sugar.
Oh, the two best things in the whole wide world. Since you live in New York, what are your favorite food festivals?
Well, there's this thing called the... So there's part of Brooklyn called Williamsburg, which is not where I live. But they have a thing called Smorgasburg. That's a food festival. I think it's like every weekend in the summer. And that's pretty fun. You can get like all kinds of stuff there, like turkey leg, a burger with ramen noodles formed into the buns. It's crazy.
Wow.
I know. People are just so creative.
Wow. Oh, that right there is very, very different. What is your favorite thing that you actually prepare? That you love. When you make this, you go, I'm going to eat this.
Let me think. Well, I am pretty proud of my experiments with bacon waffling with the waffle maker.
How do we do this?
Well, you got to put, you know, you got to put bacon in the waffle batter, you know.
Okay. Already cooked bacon, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Okay.
Has to be crisp.
Does it matter if it's a thick cut or not? Does it matter if it's, you know, honey bacon or?
There's actually two different schools of thought. Some people just like lay the strips on there where they're like hanging out of the waffle iron. Some people like to crumble it up like bacon bits.
Some people just like take the bacon, put it across there and just let it go and just seal the bacon in.
Yeah, it's more, they're like showing off, you know.
What's your preference?
I got so much bacon, it's hanging out.
I know, bacon on bacon.
I think I prefer the bits, the bacon bits, because then you don't have to, you know. I just like, I'm sort of a savage, I like to eat waffles with my hands and not a fork.
You know, me too. Now, I normally always do my bacon on the side. Something that I started, that I did the other day, well, maybe the last two times we had waffles, was that I actually took a banana and smashed it and mixed it up in the batter and had some banana waffles. When I tell
you. Nice. Guess what? Guess what I just heard this weekend?
What's up?
I heard that you can take the pre-made, cinnamon roll dough and put that in your waffle iron and that it works.
Are you serious?
I know.
Mine, no.
And then think about it. You can put that delicious frosting on top of it after that. Oh, my goodness.
I have got to try that. My teeth are probably going to rotten, so I got to be sure I brush them very well. But I've got
My mouth is watering a little bit. I won't lie.
Oh, that. And you know what? I wouldn't have thought about that, but that kind of makes sense because you're actually going through the heating process the same. I wouldn't have thought about that.
Yeah.
What see, we're gonna have people out there going, I need some waffles, I need some bacon, I need some banana.
What happened was somebody like rudely posted a picture of it on their Facebook feed, and then I was like, oh.
Yes, that right there, gotta make. Yes, that sounds scrumptious. What is your favorite food that you hide from everybody? Your kids, everybody. Like, you can't have any of this.
Oh, Probably stuff with dark chocolate almond stuff. I can be stingy with that.
Ooh.
I thought you were going to ask what was my, like, guilty secret. And that
What is it then, since you brought it up?
Well, probably the thing that I make for myself the most, if it's just me, is like fancy versions of ramen noodle dishes.
Ooh, what's a fancy ramen noodle dish?
Well, you throw out the seasoning packet because that's no good.
No.
And then I take, I add this mushroom bouillon to make the broth.
Mm-hmm.
Then put some fancy stuff in there, like maybe spinach sauteed in sesame oil or something, you know.
Ooh.
Black vinegar and soy sauce and sprinkle with sesame seeds. It looks all fancy when you do that.
Ooh, do you cook it in a wok?
No, just a pot, you know. Small pot. I like it because it's fast and it's like, I guess it's like comfort food, you know.
Ooh, that is fancy. I would have never thought about that. Because I actually got a wok, so I might try it on the wok.
Because the noodles are good. It's just the seasoning that makes it kind of lame. So if you can, like, bump it up with the good stuff, then it's fine.
Yeah, and the seasoning will make your blood pressure go up.
Yes, it has a lot of sodium. You know, I had a friend who was trying to save money. He was eating, like, 2 packs a day of ramen. And is a... His hands got all puffy, so that's a no-no.
Wow. And, you know, like I said, the noodles themselves is fine. Like, if people just ate the noodles, you'd be fine. But when you rip that package open and sprinkle it across there, you go from, what, about 100 calories to 1,500?
Yeah, it's something crazy. Like, each thing's like 70% of your sodium value. That's the danger.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
That's right. Makes you look like you have on Mickey Mouse gloves if you're eating 2 packs a day for a week.
Yes, you will swell up like a balloon.
This is SpongeBob sodium pants.
Yes. Yes, if I puncture you, salt's going to come out your bloodstream.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Even a cannibal would pass.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Wow. Well, because I've learned that just from flipping over packages. Like, I've learned how to educate myself and flip over packages, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that sounds like that is a lot going on. What is your favorite thing to drink?
Oh, so my favorite fancy thing to drink is like, have you ever heard of this Italian drink syrup called Sorani?
Mm-mm.
So I got one Italian sodas, which is just like the baby water, and then there's my favorite flavor of syrup is the pink grapefruit. It feels very fancy.
Ooh, well, what is your favorite non-fancy drink then?
Lemon water. Actually, I'm not a big soda drinker, but the Italian sodas get me excited sometimes.
Ooh, can you find that here in the States?
Yeah, maybe. Like, it's the same brand of flavors that they use at, like, coffee shops. Same brand of syrups.
Ooh.
They used to have one of those soda makers, but it broke. Soda Stream, you know?
How do you even use those?
You put, like, normal water in the bottle, and then it has this cartridge in it that makes it carbonated. feel like push a button and it just makes it bubbly. And then you dump the syrup in whatever flavor you want.
Have you had the little thing now that everybody's going crazy where you like squeeze, you have water, and you like take this thing, you squeeze something into it, and like turns it colors?
Oh, the, like the Mio and all that stuff?
Yes. Yeah, I seen some of Fruit Punch the other day. I was like, what is this? What is going on here?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of flavored water. Get it? It just tastes off to me.
Yeah, you might as well drink water or drink lemonade or get somebody else who already know what they're doing. Because, you know, I know me, it will be terrible. Like, if I start mixing and measuring and mixing stuff together.
And I'm a little bit, I don't like the taste of sugar-free stuff. I got to have the real thing, you know. So I won't even bother if it's like some kind of 5-calorie nonsense. That's not what I want.
Like they're trying to trick you into being healthy.
No. They're like, don't have calories, have chemicals.
You're like, no. If I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out in style. Where's my bacon waffle?
Was that you? Who posted? Did you post a picture of a Jamaican soda or something?
Yes, it was delicious.
And then I commented that you should try the Ting. Have you tried the Ting?
No, I have not tried it. I don't know where to get it.
Probably wherever you can find those. If you're out like a Caribbean place, I bet they would have it. Actually, you know, I used to live in the Caribbean part of Brooklyn, so they have all those like patty shops and all that.
That's where I had it. It was a Caribbean place that I actually got that from, and my girlfriend that was with me, she was like, "Ooh, try the pineapple soda." She was like, "It's delicious." So I tried it, and it was really, really good, and I was like, where has this been? I've been cheated my whole life.
So, like, Jamaicans are known for their ginger beer, too.
Ginger?
Yeah, like ginger beer.
Have you tried it? How does it taste?
Well, the secret is they put about twice the amount of sugar as normal people who make ginger ale. So it's very delicious. And since it tastes like ginger, you sort of can, like, trick yourself that maybe it's giving you some, like, medicinal value.
Ah. What is the most unique, you say you was in, like, the Jamaica part of Brooklyn. What's the most unique Jamaican food that you've tried?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I like to have, like, a savory breakfast. And one time I was eating what I thought was like stir-fried cabbage and stuff for the breakfast food. And it had bits of, what I didn't know was it had like bits of salt fish in it. So that was an accidental, adventurous taste.
How did it taste? Was it delicious?
It was good. I feel like Jamaican food, I grew up in Alabama. Like Caribbean cooking is a lot similar to the southern U.S. A lot of frying things, a lot of, like, battering fish and stuff like that.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Yeah, and I bet you a lot of things kind of trade off because I'm pretty sure they use, like, different parts of, like, the animals, like a lot of people down south do, don't they?
Yeah, I'm sure you can find some chicken feet.
Yeah, pig feet, hog maw.
I couldn't find granny else in New York for the Caribbean grocery stores.
What's the most unique thing you found in a Caribbean grocery store?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, one of my favorite things to do when I travel and stuff is to just browse the grocery store. That's an interesting question. I guess I find they have a lot of different kinds of porridge and stuff. Like cornmeal porridge. I don't even know what they call it. Oh, also they have all these soup mixes. And one of them says, like, cock soup or something like that.
That's a good one. And were you?
They use the British English, you know, so they don't.
But
British people use the word cock to mean rooster, and then they also use the word naughty a lot in a way that makes me uncomfortable, but they just mean naughty. But, like, in America, naughty means something sexual.
Yes, yes. Oh, you're being bad?
Yeah, like, or they'll be like, my son is so naughty today, or something like that. And you're like, oh, I feel uncomfortable.
See, I don't know how to respond. Is this naughty in a good way or naughty in a bad way? And when you say porridge, you're talking about like Goldilocks and the Three Bears porridge?
Yeah, they have, I guess, like a cornmeal mush is a popular breakfast food. So they have that like mix in the grocery store for the mush.
Is it similar to grits?
Maybe, but I think the flour is more fine. Basically, it's like stuff you would use to make cornbread, but wet.
That baby glad they ain't got cock porridge here. You know, Americans would drive you crazy with that, especially knowing that they could say it and not be punished for it, a naughty. Would you like some of my naughty porridge? What are you talking about? This is not a porn. I'm not talking about a porn. I'm just talking about my naughty porridge. So you going to the mall, and then I didn't hear anything else past that point.
Okay, I went to the mall, and there was this older Caribbean lady outside who was, like, crazy. She was, like, arguing with somebody only she could see.
Wow.
So I think if somebody like that, like, yelled at me to eat my cock porridge or whatever, I would just do it.
Yeah, I will be eating a whole. How much cock would you like me to eat today?
Yes,
how
ma'am.
Much you would like.
There's something about just the tone of an angry, Jamaican woman. Like, you just go against that.
Yeah, I think no matter who you are, it will frighten you into eating your meal, whatever, no matter how cocky or porridgey or naughty it is. Whatever this is, I guess I'll be eating it because I don't want whatever you have. I don't want none of that today. I'm good.
Yeah, it was one of those situations where I was afraid to catch her eye, you know, because she might direct the wrath at me.
Yes, I completely understand that. And, Candace, I wanted to tell you that, I have enjoyed your stories. I've just enjoyed you. This has been fun because I know you have to go, but this has been a fun ride, and I know that everybody has enjoyed your stories. All I gotta say is watch out for the cocks and don't be naughty, people.
And the monkey.
Yes. Yes. And try some bacon waffles.
Yes, and the cinnamon roll waffle. We gotta do that.
You know what? That's all my goal. And the cinnamon roll waffles. And tell everybody where they can find you at, Candace.
I am at mommosttraveled.com, or you can tweet me at mommosttraveled.
Thank you. Oh, this has been fun, man. You are a very interesting woman. And like you say, mommosttraveled, she is a traveling woman, and I hope she keeps on traveling. I pick at her on Facebook because every time I turn around on Facebook, she posts these pictures on random spots that she's at, and I tell her, and I mean this, whenever I look at her pictures on Facebook, I always play Where's Waldo with her because I don't know who she's going to show up with, where she's going to be, if she's going to be in the front of the photo, the back of the photo, or it might not even be her, it might be one of her kids. You just never know for that day.
True. I like to keep you guessing.
Thank you, and I enjoy playing Where's Candace. That's what I'm going to call it, Where's Candace. So it has been a fun ride. I have enjoyed it, and I hope everybody else out there has enjoyed it. And this has been another episode of Lip Smacking Good. And I want to thank everybody, and I want to thank you again, Candace. And to everybody out there in the Black Guy Who Tips premium world, until next time, keep eating. Keep enjoying the food, and whatever you do, be sure It's worth it and it tastes good. Have a good one, y'all. Bye-bye.